Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Clues? You know who's one of my favorite Dark Lords?
I think I do, but go ahead and tell me.
Dark Lord Vanderpump, you idiot.
I thought you were going to say that. No, I thought you were going to say it. I was right.
You predicted it. Another accurate Clues prediction.
Yes.
Lisa Vanderpump is one of my favorite Dark Lords, and she is part of a new show called Vanderpump Villa, a new reality show starring Lisa Vanderpump, which premieres on Hulu.
Hulu has Vanderpump.
Hulu has Vanderpump.
Hulu has Vanderpump.
I think that Dark Lord Vanderpump has only improved upon her previous work, and she knows how to concoct excellent TV series.
Yes.
Vanderpump Villa has first-class luxury and world-class drama. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside. Ooh la la.
I can't wait to watch it. You can meet the elite staff as they work, live, and play together 24/7 while dealing with rivalry, romance, and misadventures. Everything that you expect from Vanderpump as they try to provide once-in-a-lifetime experiences for their guests. The staff will need to meet Lisa's high standards. Guess what? Not everybody has what it takes. Watch new episodes of Vanderpump Villa every Monday, now on Hulu.
Praise be Dark Lord Vanderpump.
It's the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses. This is the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses.
A checklist to my future daughter. One. Hi. I haven't met you yet, so I don't know if you're brunette or blonde, long-legged around, you've got your mother's eyes or mine, but I do already know you've got her smile. Because I'll see you in hers every time she smiles at me, too. Your favorite color? It can be blue. Three, when you turn four, I hope you come to me and shout, Daddy, can you help me build a blanket for it? And I'll say to you, sweetheart, we're going to build a blanket castle, and it'll be the most beautiful castle with stone walls crafted from inside jokes, towers sculpted from bedtime stories, tiles laid on so many memories. We could dance forever on them in a moat I dig long after your head flutters to your pillow to keep bad guys away from my princess. Four, you don't have to be the princess. I've heard dragons are cool too. Five, I hope you like to spell, because there's magic in knowing I comes before E except after C, with the exception of really the entire English language, but the only rule I need you to remember is O comes after N in no. Six, that's your homework, and we'll practice every day, and they can say it with the same power as your favorite ranger. Seven, beg me for a dog. But we won't get one, because baby girl daddy will teach you to say no, but also to take no as an answer. Eight, I don't wear makeup. It doesn't work with daddy's complexion. I don't wear shorts unless they reach 9 knees. But sweetheart, please always remember, you don't have to either. But you can. It's just daddy understands the pressure society puts on women. Knows beauty standards set by Calvin Klein's bottom lines, not which you am I. No slut shaming is rooted in jealousy and misogyny for men who are able to afraid of someone who's owning their own body. Sweetheart, I want you to own your own body. Want you to wake up every morning and shake hands with the greatness inside you. I want you to be everything you work to be. 9B. Bia Volcano of Fear Conquering Dares, Nymbia, a tidal wave of starving bears, Nymbia, thunderstorm of buzzer beaters, Nymbia, an avalanche of derailed freight trains, Nymbia, boundary breaking, ground shaking, Jason Bourne to break it, glass ceiling, earthquake with the beat of your own bass, it, Nymbia, one badass motherfucking dragon princess. 9.5, don't swear. Unless you fucking mean it, 10. What castle needs a moat when you breathe fire?
Welcome to Game of Roses. This is Pace Case.
This is Bachelor Clues. And what you just heard was Chris Gallant's epic spoken word poem to my future daughter. Fantastic work, Chris Gallant. This was an old post of his, but if you go to his Instagram right now, you can see a million other of these spoken word little videos he's made. It's incredible.
Endless content.
I mean, look, I'm going to call it cringe. It's cringe to me because it meets the criteria. Definitely sincere, definitely funny, in my humble opinion.
Definitely sincere. Definitely makes me feel cringy, which is my personal cringe definition. But I feel that way about, I guess, all spoken word poetry.
No, some of it's really good. Some of it's fantastic. And I give Chris Gallant props here for trying. He's putting in the fucking effort, for sure.
He sounds like Macklemore.
Maybe. Sure. Okay. I'll give you that. But please go to his Instagram and check out all these videos that he has there. They're fantastic. I have watched that specific one that we played the entire audio of, which I felt it was important for you to hear all of it in its entirety as the whole piece. I've listened to that one now probably 100 times.
We want our audience to feel cringy right off the bat on our equipment this week. Keeping in the theme from last week.
If I'm going to cringe, you're going to cringe. But thank you for indulging that. And we hope that you do find some joy in the rest of Chris Gallant's spoken word works. Before we begin today, we're going to do a little spoken word ourselves. We're going to be reading a little bit from our upcoming book, How to Win the Bachelor. Now, we're not going to give away all of our trade secrets that are in the book, but we want you to know what is in it. So we were just going to go through the table of contents here so that you get some idea of what you're getting in this tome. Because once it comes out, January 18th, the game will change forever. Every player will read this. And if they're smart, they'll be using these strategies. And we're going to see a drastic shift into a professional era, or a post-professional era, if you will.
And just like all of my favorite tomes, like Twilight or the Bible, etc., it's jam-packed with content.
It is jam-packed. And it should be noted that we're about to read through the table of contents so that you know what's in here. But the entire book kind of follows the trajectory of our hyper binge as we are descending into madness, the things that we're learning. So there is a personal element of this book that kind of allows Pace Case and I to work out our demons about how the pit has really affected us and how this entire endeavor has altered us as human beings.
We start off introduction, like all great works.
Yep, there's an introduction. And in that, we kind of talk about what led us down this path. Then our first chapter is called Fundamentals. That's where we're going to break down all the rules of the game as we see them, the things that we have kind of deciphered from watching so much of the show and put together how the game actually works, the mechanics of it, because I feel like that's a hugely important part. If you don't understand like what the four audiences are, you won't really understand how this game works. That's just one small example.
Chapter two, the preseason. In this chapter, we discuss everything that you need to do before your time in game, including how to curate your Instagram in the perfect way, including how to prepare yourself mentally, physically, and different things that you need to prepare before night one.
And then chapter three is, of course, night one, surviving the slaughter. And we get into hardcore statistics about which limo exit is the best to do. If you should first respond, how best to do that, how to do steals, how many kisses should you have? Not only are we telling you what the best statistical outcomes are from these various strategies, we're giving you massive charts about who had the best night one of all time, about who had, in some cases, the worst night one of all time, what some of the best limo exit types are in terms of where you're going to wind up later in the game, how do you get a crown, all that kind of stuff.
Chapter four, regular season part one, house life. This is about everything that you're doing in the regular season, how you interact, especially with the second audience. What are different things that you can do to get screen time? You know, Folder Man might have taken a page out of this chapter.
And threw it in the trash because he clearly didn't fucking use anything we're saying in this book. Chapter 5 is regular season part 2, group dates. In this one, we break down statistically literally every group date that has ever happened in the history of The Bachelor, what is statistically most likely, what types of group dates you're going to go on, and what strategies will best suit you depending on your archetype for those various group dates.
Chapter 6, regular season part 3, one-on-one dates. We break down just the same way we did for group dates, all the different one-on-one dates, all of the most historically important one-on-one dates that we've ever seen, as well as what are the different types, what are the different strategies that can help you curate the best emotional arc for a one-on-one date.
Then we get into chapter 7, playoffs round 1. That's the hometowns. This is where we talk about what you need to be doing to get your family to either help you move on or help you get kicked off in this first preliminary round of the playoffs, if that's going to be your strategy, because there are some very effective anti-hometown strategies that can land you with a ring or a crown, sorry, not a ring. We also go into some of the greatest and worst hometowns of all time as well. And there's some very bad ones. Let me just say that.
Chapter 8 is playoffs round 2, fantasy suites. Just like hometowns, you can arrange for your family to help you go one way or another, depending on your specific strategy. So can you do with your fantasy suite, whether you want to get eliminated that round or not. Different types of chemistry plays might be made.
And then we go into chapter 9, the WTA, aka that women tell all. This is like an all-star game. This is in some cases players' last chances to make a bid for paradise and maybe even get invited to paradise in the Women Tell All live on television. But this extra little thing that gets inserted near the end of every season is a fascinating one last step back onto the field for all these players. And we go through statistically what you want to do to get the best hot seat, what you should do in a hot seat, how you can handle your conversation with the Bachelor if you get one of those, and everything that any player will need for the Women Tell All.
And by the way, all of these chapters, we also talk about the history of each one, all the important moments as that game element has developed. Chapter 10, we talk about the finale and after the final rose. How has that changed over time? What are the statistics around if you're the first limo out? Are you always going to be the person who's dumped? Almost always.
I mean, it's like 99.99999%. Yes. And then chapter 11 is the postseason. What do you do after you come out of the game to maximize your Instagram growth? And how do you set up joining a team? How do you set up using the friends that you made in the game to start collabing? And potentially, how do you start preparing for paradise or maybe even a second run, a second tour as a player in a subsequent season?
Chapter 12 is being complicit. This is a giant asterisk on our entire fandom of the show regarding how we feel about the show, how it has changed over history regarding misogyny, homophobia, ableism, racism, etc. Some mainstays of our beloved game.
And then we have some little goodies in the back of the book. Our first appendix is the history of our beloved game. We go through literally every season and give it a couple of paragraphs where we talk about what were the important things that happened in season 1 all the way through season 25. This is the history of the game, the evolution of it, when Fimp Roses came in, group date roses, who was the first Bachelor to have a 2-hour episode, who was the first Bachelor to go to the mansion that we all now know and love, who was the first Bachelor to not shoot their season in Los Angeles. That's Charlie O'Connell, of course, New York. And then we also have the lexicon, all the terminology that we have created in service of covering our beloved game. We use a lot of it in this book, like PTCs and rose quotients. All of that stuff is in the back of the book. There's probably 100 plus terms so that you have an easy reference guide alphabetically to figure out what any of the shit means that we're talking about.
Yeah, a high demand glossary.
And then we've also created a score sheet, something that you can use to watch the game and mark off all these plays as they're happening, kind of like a baseball score sheet. And that is available in the back of this book as well. And we're going to be releasing that as a PDF that you'll be able to download at some point. But that's an overview of How to Win the Bachelor. Those are all the things that are in it. It is the most comprehensive study of The Bachelor, I believe, that's ever been done, at least in terms of game mechanics, for sure. There's nothing out there like this. And we hope that you guys can all go pick up copies, pre-order it now. If you would, we would appreciate that very much. And if you do pre-order it, you can go to howtowinthebachelor.com, enter yourself into a couple of contests we have there. There's some very insane prizes, which we talk about on the show every week.
It's a fantastic item to give as a holiday gift as well.
That is true.
Holidays are coming up.
The holidays are upon us. But thank you guys very much to everybody who's already pre-ordered it. And thank you to everybody who's about to. And now, Pace Case, let's begin this week in Bachelor Nation with something that we have been beginning this show with for the past months or so. This is where we're going to talk about the nature of the game itself. What is going on in our beloved game this week? What are the trends we're noticing? What are the things that are happening evolutionarily? This is
Game of Roses. State of the Game.
Today, we must discuss something that we've been noticing for a little while now. I don't know when I first started noticing this. You know when it was? When they started going to New York, when a bunch of players started migrating to New York, and I was like, oh, there's like an LA versus New York thing happening now, similar to 90s hip hop. And then people started going to Nashville, and then some went to Chicago. Now we got a San Diego team. And what we are talking about is exactly that. The rise of the team sport within our beloved game. We've got now, I would say, 9 roughly geographic locations. We're talking about New York. We're talking about San Diego. We're talking about LA. We're talking about Chicago, Nashville, Denver, Canada, the source, Dallas, and Las Vegas. These 9 locations are where the centers of power within our beloved game are essentially coalescing, and they are forming teams around all of the various players who live in these cities. All of these players are doing SpawnCon with one another, and obviously they travel as well. Some players from the New York team will go to LA, and you'll see them doing collabs with everybody from other teams, but their home base locations are what we perceive to be teams, and that is how we're going to start charting some of the stuff. So in this opening state of the game, we've listed these 9 teams, and I'm sure that many of you are wondering, well, which team is in the lead? And again, this is very preliminary. I just want to throw this out here. We don't have all of the players for all of these teams. We just have the ones that we were able to verify, the ones that we kind of know off the top of our head. So we're going to go through for you right now who is in these teams, what their Instagram follower count is, and which team is on the top of that list. Here we go.
Coming in at 9th place, which is last for our determined team so far, but technically first of all the rest of the cities that don't make this list, with 1.86 million Instagram followers, is the Denver High. This wonderful team in the ski country, outdoors country of Colorado is led by Ben Higgins at 1.2 million. We've got Blake Horstman, Baylock High at 607K. We got Tajwan Hawkins at 54.1K.
And coming in at 8th place, the Windy City, we got the Chicago Clout with 2.7 million total followers. That team is, of course, anchored by the greatest Night One guy of all time, GSJ Grocery Store Joe. He's got 1.1 million followers. You got other big heavy hitters like Whitney Bischoff with 413K, Kenny Brash coming in with 299K to bolster up that team, and Andrew Spencer is there as well, 303,000, among some others like Anna Redmond, Chris Bukowski, Diggy Moreland, and Clay Harbor.
Coming in at 7, we have the Las Vegas scene with 3.6 million Instagram followers. This is led by Paradise Powerhouses, Kayla Miller-Keys at 1.4 million, and Dean Unglert, Deanie Babies, at 1.3 million. We also have the Ferguson twins, Haley and Emily, at 376 and 386K apiece, and the OnlyFans entrepreneur, Mad Chad Johnson, at 237K.
And coming at sixth place in our team rankings is the North. That is the team name of Canada. They have 4 million total followers. They are anchored by a crown of yore, Jillian Harris, who has 1.3 million Instagram followers. And you got some other heavy, heavy hitters up in there. Of course, Blake Moynes, the most recent ring winner, and now no longer together with his crown. He's got 498,000 followers. You got Astrid Locke at 496. You even got Vanessa Grimaldi. She's a ring winner from all the way back in season 21. That is, of course, the GOAT, Nick Viall. She's got 729,000 followers. You also got Angela Amezcua in there. You got Kevin Wendt in there. And you got the face god herself, Mykenna Dorn, at 327,000 followers.
Coming in at number 5 out of our teams with an approximate Instagram total of 5.1 million, we have the San Diego crew. Of course, this includes Hannah Godwin, Paradise Extraordinaire at 1.5 million. This includes former crown Becca Kufrin at 1.3 million. We got heavy hitters, of course, our latest crown, Katie Thurston. She's at 995K now, just dropped under the million. And we got Big Body Trash Can, Aaron Clancy. We got Wolverine, Chasing Nick. We got Hannah Godwin's Dylan Barber. We got Boxman, James Bonsall. We got Nice Guy, John Hersey. And the Big Body Trash Can himself, Thomas Jacobs, 218K.
An impressive showing, but not quite as impressive as our number 4 team on the big team chart. We're talking, of course, about those Nashville Sliders. Their total Instagram count is 5.5 million followers. We got people like Connor the Catman up in that mix. We got Kelsey Weir, the greatest hoojewer of all time, in that mix. We got White Lives Matter model Victoria Fuller. We got Victoria Paul. We got ex-ring winner Lauren Lane at 1.5 million. But of course, this team is anchored by the Lady Goat herself, Caitlin Bristow, with 1.9 million followers, and her husband-to-be, Jason Tardy Tardick, at 877,000 followers.
Coming in at number 3 of all the teams, this is no surprise that this is up there with 6.44 million. We've got The Source, Dallas, Texas. We have huge heavy hitters on this list. We have Madison Pruitt, 1.7 million. We got the golden boy himself, Sean Lowe, at 1.3 million, and his ring winner, 1.4 million, Catherine Lowe. We got Raven Gates at 1.1 million with her paramour, Adam Goschalk, at 229K. We also have DeAndre Canoe, Ivan Hall, Alexis Waters, and Jessenia Cruz. Strong team.
Love to see The Source climbing that chart. I think The Source is going to be here for a long, long time, up in the top numbers of our teams. Coming in at second place, you've only got two choices here. Is it New York or is it LA? Who's going to take the top spot and who's going to be number two? The number two team, which has, at least right now for us, the biggest roster, the most players, is the New York City Influence. They have a total of 13.4 million Instagram followers. And of course, you know, there are some gigantic names up in the Big Apple. You got Popeye Peter Weber at 1.6 million. You got Tayshia Adams at 1.8 million. You got one of the 2 million club members, Tyler Cameron. He's scratching around the mean streets of New York City with 2.1 million. And the list goes on and on. You got Abigail Herringer, Ashley Spivey, the Cringe King, Bennett Jordan. You got Bree Springs. You got Chelsea Vaughn. You got the Moss Man himself, Dale Moss, Derek Peth, Dr. Joe Park, Dustin D-Man 43 Kendrick. You got Grippo. You got the new host of our beloved game, Jesse Palmer, is on this team. You got Kit Keenan. You got Matt James, a former crown. You got Marissa Gunn. You got Michael Garofalo. You got Natasha Parker. She's one of the made players. You got Olivia Caridi. You got Piper James. You got Kirk Connell. You got Riley Christian. You got Serena Chu. You got Charlene Joy. You got Tammy K. Lai. You got all of these people, Whitney Prantway. And you got even Zach Clark is up there with Tayshia Adams. So this is the biggest roster, as I said. Nonetheless, they only have 13.4 million collective Instagram followers, which lands them in second place, as of right now anyway, to the true champions of the team sport that we have put together here.
Leading the pack. It's no surprise. This is a TV show. And where are TV shows mostly made? Hollywood, baby. Tinseltown coming in number one with 15.3 million total Instagram followers. We got the LA icons. I mean, we're led by the queen of Bachelor Nation Instagram, Hannah Brown, at 2.5 million. We got Becca Tilly, 1.1. We got Becca Martinez of the Chatty Broads at 740K. Brian Abasolo, 351K. We got Cassie Randolph, 1.3 million. We got Danny Padilla, 111K. We got Demi Burnett, 1.2 million. We got The Sluice is Loose, Hannah Ann Sluss, 1.2 million. We got Kendall Long, 623K. She'll never leave here. She'll never go to Chicago. She says the clout can suck it. We got Nick Viall at 1.1 million. Some people say he's the GOAT. Other people know better. We got Rachel Lindsay, our first Black Bachelorette, 932K. We got host of BIP, well, temporary host of BIP, bartender Wells Adams at 1.2 million. We got Deanna Stagg at 105K. We got Colton Underwood at 1.9K. Still got those numbers. We got Andy Dorfman at 1 million, maybe the originator of the 1 million club herself. We thought, you know, LA is the first team, you know, it's like early in Bachelor Nation, people move to LA, but it's still holding strong in these numbers.
This is something that we are tracking closely, the rise of these teams, which are basically groupings of people who will do social media together in one way or another. They're parasocial teams, really. And it's fascinating to us to see it happen like this. We think we're going to start to see more of them pop up, and our list is going to become more honed week by week as we really start going through all the most important players where they live. Again, this is a very preliminary list. We have most of the big players on here, most of the big contemporary players, but we're certainly missing some. And we're going to start doing our research so that we have this like fine-tuned. But this is something that's happening now. When you come off the game as a player, you got to make the decision. Where the fuck am I going to move? And these teams are a part of that decision now, for sure. So we're going to be watching it closely.
Only move to one of these places. Because otherwise, who are you going to collab with? No one.
You could go to Arlington, Iowa. Be part of the Iowa Corns with the only other player that lives there, Chris Soules.
Victoria Fuller for a time.
Yeah. But that is our state of the game. We got these teams popping up, and you're going to be hearing us talk more and more about them. And I can't wait to see really how it builds out, because ultimately, as we start talking about what you do after playing in the game, yes, you're still always going to be associated with Bachelor, but you're also now working in this broader world of influence generally. You are an influencer now if you're a successful player off the game. And so when you're talking about like the LA icons, for example, you know, it's not just Hannah Brown that's on that. Kim Kardashian is also a team member of the LA icons, if we're being real about it.
Kylie Jenner.
If we're being real about it.
Bachelor Clues, Pace Case, be real.
Let's be real about it.
We're not helping that much with the numbers, but we're trying.
That's right. And now in an effort to be real with something else, we are going to move on to that section of our show in which we discuss the gains of all of our favorite players. And this is the being real part about it. Unfortunately, the ratings of our beloved game. This is
This Week in
Gains.
The ratings for the third week of Bachelorette Season 18 continue to slide into the nether realm. Tuesday's offering slipped about 6% in the demo from last week with a 0.67, and the total number of viewers fell another 5% to 2.73 million. And once again, our beloved game could not hold on to first place or even second place across the other networks Tuesday night. Game 6 of the World Series on Fox destroyed all other competition with a 2.7 in the demo and 11.7 million viewers total. Big sporting events are routinely the only things on network TV that can pull these kinds of numbers. So maybe that's not a fair comparison, but Michelle Young was also unable to beat FBI on CBS, which pulled in a 0.7 in the demo with 6.69 million viewers. This is the worst rated season of a main game in history, and we can only wonder if this trend will continue into January of next year with Clayton Eckert's season 26 of The Bachelor, or if a return to the mansion, international travel, and a square-jawed white football player will gain back enough of the fourth audience to put our beloved game back on top.
FBI. At least it's not La Brea.
I mean, I think those are roughly similar. It's like when you're just getting beat by... Our show is just called FBI. What? I mean, I get it. People like their procedural crime shows and all this shit, but mm-hmm. Jesus Christ.
Now let's move on to the top five gains chart for the players of Bachelorette Season 18 since October 28th, 2021, our last week's Twibbon. The gold medal in gains, once again, goes to nothing but Nate, the sales executive from Winnipeg, Manitoba, Nate Olukoya. He gained 12.1K in scrim followers this week, bringing him to 52.2K total. Welcome to the 50K club, Nate. For his 4TRR investigation of Jamie's relationship to the fourth audience, his face play, and de-escalation during the Lil Willy pizzapreneur rivalry, his runaway isolation tactics, his cocktail party first responder, and his charminance.
I think he's going to be at the top of this list for the duration of this season.
Yes.
The silver medal in gains goes to newcomer, a traveling nurse recruiter from Portland, Oregon, Brandon Jones. He gained 4,120 followers this week, bringing him to 8,015 total for his audience participation play with Michelle on the public performance group date, his loaded LL3, his bullying PTC, and that GDR. That's two GDRs in a row for Mr. Jones.
The bronze medal in gains goes to the real estate developer from Minneapolis, Joe Coleman. He gained 4.1K followers this week, bringing him to 17.8K total for his chemistry play, his love level one extraction, and his first flower.
And fourth place goes to the sales representative from Rancho Cucamonga, California, and Granny Smith stan, Rodney Matthews. He gained 3,046 followers this week, bringing him to 5,077 followers total for his perfectly played one-on-one date, his food play, his forced public nudity play, his PTC, his loaded LL2, and getting that one-on-one rose.
And fifth place in gains goes to medical sales rep from Columbia, Missouri, teacher stick enthusiast, and our next crown, Clayton Eckerd. He gained 2.4K this week, bringing him to 36.3K total for his mild interrogation of the pizzapreneur's property damage play and for finally revealing to us his signature kiss lead-in move, the Clayton rotation. Will he spin our lead again? Will he rotate all players on his season? Time will tell.
Rotation.
You like that?
I loved it. Michelle Young has gained 13,000 Instagram followers this week, bringing her to 579,000 total. She's gained 1,700 on Twitter, and she has 17,500 total there. Is Michelle Young going to hit a million? We ask this every week.
I can't see it during the season.
What would have to happen after the season for it to occur?
It's hard to see it after the season.
Yeah, that's what I'm like. It doesn't usually go up. Although
Thurston hit it after.
Yeah, she hit it a little bit after. Grocery Store Joe also packed on an extra 100,000 followers after the show ended. He's at 1.1 million right now.
He is breaking records left and right.
It's unbelievable.
Now for the top five total Instagram followers chart as of today, November 4th, 2021. Number one. Nothing but Nate Olukoya maintains a lead at 52.2K.
And our next crown, the Midwestern spinner Clayton Eckerd, has 36,300 in second place.
The alleged intimidator of Jamie Scar, Joel Coleman, has jumped up to third place at 17.8K.
The bleached flipper and group date rose recipient Martin Gelbspan is at fourth place with 16,000 followers.
Rounding out the top five is colorful narrator / pizzapreneur rival Will Urena at 12.8K.
And that rounds out all the gains for this week, all the TV ratings. Now we're going to move on to that portion of our program in which Paycase and I discuss all of the most juicy tids of the
Clues, have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp or ever wondered
Hell yes.
Why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised?
Hell yes. Well, unfiltered mineral water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And about 75% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine.
I thought it was 85%. And that's where Canopy's new filtered shower head comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered shower head. dermatologist recommended unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin.
Best of all, the Canopy filtered showerhead is hassle-free. Installation's a breeze, and it's unique. Quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement unlike any others on the market.
Go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription.
Even better, anybody listening to Gore right now can use code ROSES at checkout to save an additional 10% off your Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
You know, Clues, in order to use Charminants in my life and to get a glow, you know, you got to be confident in your own skin. That's what really glows. And that's why I have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best. No complicated routine, no multiple step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions. The secret is OneSkin's proprietary OS01 peptide, the first ingredient proven to switch off the aging cells that cause lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin. Several studies to back it up. I've been using their products for a while now, and I'm hooked. But don't just take my word for it. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024. For a limited time, get an exclusive 15% off your first OneSkin purchase using the code ROSES when you check out at oneskin.co. Try OneSkin and enjoy younger, healthier skin without all the extra steps.
You know, in a third-party 12-week clinical study performed by a third-party research organization, OS01 Face was clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier, improve skin health markers, and diminish visible signs of aging. Wrinkles were diminished in 87% of users. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with that 15% off that Pace Case mentioned using the code ROSES at oneskin.co. That's 15% off OneSkin.co, that's O-N-E-Skin.co with the code ROSES. After you purchase, they're going to ask you where you heard about them. Please support Game of Roses and tell them we sent you.
Clues. I'm a millennial woman, so you might figure out from that I'm a wine lover. In my lover girl era, I'm going to let you all in on a little secret. I found the most personalized wine club that has amazing wines and exclusive perks called First Leaf. As a First Leaf member, I get to discover new wines I'm guaranteed to enjoy because they get to know your unique preferences. First, I answered this quiz about how often I drink it. Do I like red, white, or rosé? That answer is white or rosé. And they curated a bunch of wines for me. I loved the Sir Oscar Darby 2021 Sauvignon Blanc Semillon from South Australia.
Wow.
Where we're going to be shooting Gen Tren season. It's perfect. Best of all, I chose when the box is delivered and how often I get the new assortments of wine.
You know, being part of the First Leaf Wine Club also has its perks. As a member, you're going to get access to their incredibly helpful wine concierge. So if you want a wine pairing advice or you want to talk about the wines in your box, you can always speak with one of the experts. Plus, you get member exclusive pricing on every order. Right now, join the club today and discover new wines you're going to love with First Leaf. Go to tryfirstleaf.com/roses to get your first box. That's tryfirstleaf.com/roses. tryfirstleaf.com/roses.
Week. This is Bachelor Nation News.
Our first item of Bachelor Nation News isn't even about The Bachelor at all.
Twist.
It's about another reality dating competition, Joe Millionaire, Fox's answer to The Bachelor, premiered back in 2003 and followed 20 women competing in a Bachelor-style game of dating by attrition as they fought for the affection of 28-year-old Evan Marriott. The show slash producers lied to the players, telling them Marriott was an heir to a $50 million fortune when in reality, he was a working-class construction worker. The season one finale drew in over 40 million viewers and became the most watched entertainment show of the 2003 season and Fox's most watched entertainment show in the history of the network at that time. It even beat The Bachelor in ratings that year as Our Beloved Game aired season three starring Andrew Firestone, the heir to the Firestone family fortune, who was billed as the real millionaire in opposition to Fox's Joe Millionaire. Now that the history lesson is out of the way, the news surrounding Joe Millionaire is that it's back. Fox has ordered a new season of the show, this time with a little twist. The 20 players are going to be dating two men simultaneously, one who is a real millionaire and one who is not. But they won't know which is which. Not that it matters, because obviously after the show airs, they'll both likely have over a million Instagram followers, so they will both be millionaires anyway. So while the premise is flawed from the beginning, it is going to be interesting to see what happens as Joe Millionaire is going to be going head-to-head against Bachelor season 26 next January. I don't know what's going to happen here. I think Joe Millionaire might crush The Bachelor. I can see that happening.
Definitely. I mean, we need a more compelling story from Clayton. I've been surprised by the edit that he's getting, but
I don't think we're going to get it. Now, I remember with Joe Millionaire, they did do a season two of it, which did not work at all. The ratings were terrible. And that was it. That was the end of Joe Millionaire. They're bringing it back with this weird twist. And, you know, it really calls into question the idea of the fourth audience and kayfabe. Do we believe the lie? Because we know as soon as this goes on TV and we all start following them, like we just said in this, they're both going to have a million Instagram followers and they're both going to be millionaires. So whatever the guy is coming into the show who is not the millionaire, when he leaves the show, he will be an influencer and a millionaire. So I don't even know if the premise works, but I also don't know if that will matter in terms of tuning in.
And I don't think most people think about it in those terms.
Right. And at least while we're watching the game, the players in this instance will know that like one of them is and one of them isn't. And the guys will just lie about it. So that'll be interesting to watch potentially how players navigate that kind of strange twist on The Bachelor. But I'm excited for this. I think it could be very interesting.
I mean, I'm watching every reality dating show that's out there. So
right.
I guess you could call that excitement. Okay. Add that to the plate.
Yeah, you're already doing screams from the pit.
Yeah. We know that Clayton Eckard will be The Bachelor for season 26. And we know that 2022 will have back-to-back bachelors, just as 2021 had back-to-back bachelorettes. And now we might know, or at least have a hint about, who that second bachelor of 2022 might be. A blind item from the popular gossip account Du Moi leaked this week, which read, "My friend works in the casting department for the Bachelor franchise. A well-known bachelorette contestant who is currently going through a breakup is now in talks of becoming the next bachelor in 2022. If this is true, it very likely means that Blake Moynes is currently in talks to take the crown of season 27 of The Bachelor. And if that is true, then Bachelor Clues will have once again proven to have almost supernatural powers of prognostication." Why is that, Clues?
I made the prediction that Moynes would be crowned Bachelor way back before Claire and Tayshia's season 16 of Bachelorette aired, using only his Instagram to make this judgment. We wish Moynes luck in this endeavor if it comes to fruition, and I'm looking very forward to my next supernatural level prediction. But come on now, you got to give me some fucking props. If this goes down...
I do give you props.
This will be my greatest prediction ever. I think even better than Matt James being the first Black Bachelor by just looking at the Instagram, because that there were other things in that one contextually that was like, he's friends with Tyler Cameron, he's friends with Hannah Brown, he's like all that shit.
No, this one is wilder.
Dale Moss, I think, was a strong prediction. This is a wilder, longer road that he had to go down. But I tell you, I saw that crown gleam in this man's eyeball when I looked at his Instagram. And now it may be coming true.
You see crown twinkles. That's incredible.
I do.
Your superpower.
Speaking of my superpower crown, Twinkles, our third item of Bachelor Nation news this week involves Matt James. The season 25 lead took to Instagram to announce his next project, a book called First Impressions, Off-Screen Conversations with a Bachelor on Race, Family, and Forgiveness. This literary endeavor was done with the help of author Cole Brown, who most notably wrote Gray Boy, Finding Blackness in a White World. The business of book writing by ex-leads and players of our beloved game is constantly growing. We've seen Colton Underwood hit the New York Times bestseller list. Madison Pruitt's new book hit number one in the Christian personal growth category on Amazon. Popeye has a children's book out currently. And heavy hitter Rachel Lindsay's book comes out next January at the same time as the most important book in Bachelor history, How to Win the Bachelor. We don't know how much of James' book will be about the game and how much will be about his life experiences outside of it, but we wish Matt James success in his literary endeavor and we welcome him to the author club. Welcome from one author to another.
Hello, fellow author. Speaking of endeavors outside the game, Hannah Godwin is in the news this week for the launch of her brand new photo and video editing app called Seti. She put together an event at Gracias Madre in Los Angeles, and she wasn't alone. The season 23 runner-up conscripted the awesome parasocial power of Hannah Brown, Rachel Lindsay, Demi Burnett, Heather Martin, Christina Schulman, and of course, her fiance, Dylan Barber. The app's Instagram account currently has 38.4K followers, and the app itself is available on iPhone, where it has a 4.8 rating with 1.3K total ratings. If Clues had an iPhone, he would 100% download and use this app. He is constantly giving the advice to any future players that they should look at Hannah G's Instagram because she has the influencer aesthetic mastered. If her app helps users capture that aesthetic, it could be a very valuable tool in the effort to get in the game.
I thought this was brilliant that she did this. She really does have one of the best Instagram accounts of any player we've ever seen in terms of her ability to capture that proper aesthetic that is, I mean, she's already been in the game, obviously, but it's like, look at her fucking Instagram. That is exactly what you want yours to look like if you're trying to get into the game. That's what you want a producer to look at and be like, oh, they'd be perfect on our show. I don't know what her app does. I can't download it. I got a fucking Android, but I'm curious if other people have used it, what they think. And also, have other players done apps? I know some people have talked about fitness ones, I think. I can't remember who those people are. But I love seeing players branching out into other areas. We see the traditional ones. Mm-hmm. You have a podcast, you're doing SpawnCon, you're doing a book. Apps, though, are like, not every player has an app. And this, I thought, was interesting. And the fact that she was able to get these massive fucking names to come out and support her at her launch of the app was, it was just amazing. Amazingly done.
Yeah, she tapped into the LA icons.
She did. She got a bunch of the LA icons to come out. And of course, she was there with Dylan Barber from the San Diego crew. But I just love to see when Hannah G or a player who's kind of maybe fallen off our radar, we don't talk about them that much, even though she was an insanely good player, when she pops up with something like this and it just reminds you like, oh yeah, she's fucking amazing.
Lori Kay is good at her job.
Yeah.
I'm assuming she's Lori Kay.
I believe she is too. But that rounds out all the tids for this week. That's the news. Now we're going to move on to that portion of our show where we discuss all the plays that our players are making off the field when they're using those telephones, when they're using those apps, when they're making that parasocial content that makes us feel like we're their friends, even though they don't know who any of us are. This is
the parasocial play of the week.
This was a very strong week for our parasocial players. Katie Thurston talked straight to the camera about her recent breakup with the Boner Smith from the North, Blake Moynes, and her life in general for 6 minutes on an Instagram video. The caption reads, "Just venting." And this video has 723,000 views and 2.1K comments.
Anna Redman entered the parasocial arena this week by taking a shot at fellow Sander and professional big body trash can rival Erin Clancy on the TikTok app. Redman posted herself drinking a drink with the Chiron, might dress up as him for Halloween, so he'll want me, which cuts to a mirror selfie image of Clancy. Her caption reads, "Sorry at Erin Clancy, I had to #BachelorNation." The video has 493,900 views and 34.5K likes.
Kelly Flanagan posted two Instagram stories, Clusian style, in which she filmed the Top Gun group date on Michelle's season in awe, as she says they did the exact same thing on Popeye's season.
We've also since learned they did the exact same thing on Australian Bachelorette literally this week. So the Top Gun pilot date, it seems to be a global marketing campaign through all Bachelor franchise shows.
They fly those tots around the world.
Exactly. Raven Gates took a page out of Ashley Iaconetti's book and made a TikTok where her unborn child was talking to her this week.
Casey Woods posted the entire poem he wrote for Michelle Young on the public performance group date with the caption, "There's so much you don't get to see." This four slide main Instagram grid post has 716 likes.
Chris G posted his own full spoken word poem video to his Instagram. It has 1,387 views.
Brandon Jones posted a four slide Instagram post of his screen time this week with the caption, "Ladies and gentlemen, because of this incredible queen and the strong connection we have created, I'm honored to officially announce that I have become the first ever Bachelorette contestant to receive two back-to-back group date roses, rose emoji, hashtag we making history, at Bachelorette ABC, at Bachelor Nation. We have yet to do our Bachelorette hyper binge, so we do not know if this is true yet. We do know that Nikki Farrell did this on Juan Pablo Galvez's Bachelor season."
I'm very curious where he's getting this information. Did the producers tell him? Mm-hmm. Did a fan tell him? How does he know this? I don't know. But I am curious, too, if it's true or not. Nonetheless, even if it's not,
yeah,
great post. He is pretending like it's true, and he's getting the benefit from it. And while all these plays were fantastic, of course, there can only be one winner. This week, the Parasocial Play of the Week goes to Jamie Scar.
Controversial.
That's right. The most recent villain who just got walked out by Michelle Young for his red flags, he posted on his Instagram story some examples of the threatening messages he has received from the fourth audience. Trigger warning to skip 5 minutes or so ahead because there is discussion of suicide here. The message said, "If I was your mom, I would kill myself too. You probably made her die. You are the reason your mom killed herself." Scar posted, "I don't know what to say. TV entertainment turned to this and a contract that prohibits me from challenging the storyline. Free shots for everyone. How low can you go? This is a courageous play for many reasons, obviously. This is a horrible personal attack that is being fired against him from the fourth audience, at least one or two members of it. But he's also saying in this that the show handcuffs you when you come off of it, that you cannot tell anyone the real truth about how you were edited, how you were portrayed in the show, and that these attitudes people have that allow them or even in some ways spur them to send messages like this, it is a direct result of the edit you get in the show. The show is presenting you as a villain, as whatever. And yes, maybe Jamie said some shitty things and he tried to lie and all this kind of stuff. Does he deserve to get messages like this because of it? He is a character in a television show. That character may be based on him and things he's done. That is not him. No one on reality television is actually who they are in real life. You are seeing a small glimpse of them that is highly manipulated into whatever identity the producers want.
I'm going to go with my girl, Natasha Parker, on this one. Reality TV is real.
Oh, sorry. I forgot.
Yes. No, I mean, this is horrifying to see. And it's just like, it's just a fucked up Sleucian protocol version at this point of like, this is what you're signing up for if you go on the show. You have a 1 in 30 chance. Well, not even 1 in 30. More players than this get death threats. I'm pretty sure there's multiple players get death threats every season now. And it's just like a guarantee. It's horrifying to watch. And like, especially these players who have gone through insane traumas. I'm sure this is like triggering for them.
Of course. And it is unfortunately a part of the game. Like, you know, it seems cold to say, well, you know what you signed up for. But that is what the game is now. Not only do you have to have really, in order to progress through the game, you have to kind of have a PTC. And very usually, the more traumatic, the further you make it. And that is a part of it. And so then if the fourth audience can use that to send you messages like this, like that's, it is unfortunately just a part of it. But I love seeing plays like this made by Jamie, where mm-hmm. he at the very least is saying, hey, the shit you're seeing on that show isn't actually me, but I've signed this contract, which it forces me to not speak about it.
Yeah.
So I have to just take this fucking abuse.
It's an implied challenge to the storyline in itself.
Absolutely. But also this line he says in the end, free shots for everyone. How low can you go? The free shots for everyone part of it is like, what does the show do in service of helping someone like Jamie? We know we've heard from player after player on different podcasts that if you get a bad edit, the producers will sometimes call you and be like, tonight's going to be rough. Sorry. I don't know if he got that call. And I don't know how much of what happened in the show is true. When we did our recap, I know at the very least, there was a giant section of audio from Jamie that was played off face. It was all Frankenbitten specifically to make him sound as bad as possible. So he very definitely didn't say a lot of the stuff, at least in the first half of the show that they presented him as saying. And it just, this is the part of the game that I know if you're in the pit, you understand this. You understand that this guy is not as bad as they made him out to be. But that other contingent of people who watch the show, the fourth audience who's not in the pit, I think many of them don't get it. They think that this is all 100% real.
Yeah. And I don't necessarily think it's like our listeners, but if anybody in the pit is sending any type of negative messages to anyone that they don't know online, please stop doing that, for what it's worth.
For what it's worth. But that was our Parasocial Play the Game. Thank you to Jamie Scar for enduring what he endured and continues to endure, and for, you know, having the courage to at least put this little thing in there that's like, the show won't let me defend myself. That's a fucking important thing to put out online, especially when you're going through something like this. And now moving on to a little bit lighter fare in the parasocial world, we're going to talk about some of those parasocial creatures. We had some good creatures this week. Noah Erb and Abigail created an Instagram account for their stuffed bumblebee that they share, who they named Buzz. Thought this was a very creative way to enter the parasocial creature game.
Yes, it is a low investment into a creature. I'm very curious what Buzz's numbers will be. Katie Thurston palled around with a piglet named Issa.
Very cute. But we must crown one winner. And this week, the winner of the Parasocial Creature of the Week is Percy the dog. That's right. This is Nate's dog. And Nate posted a pic of Percy post-bath time wearing his lion bath towel draped over himself like a costume. Percy is giving us a beautiful parasocial gaze, which is accentuated by Nate's caption. Ha 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 ha. Percy absolutely rocks his lion bath towel. This post has 5,000 likes, 79 comments. This hound is beautiful beyond compare. Congrats to Percy, our parasocial creature of the week.
Percy does rock, and I'm very happy we're able to give Percy this award after we messed up and didn't give him Creature of the Week one episode.
Well, now he's got a parasocial creature, just as good.
Yeah.
But that rounds out all of our parasocial play for the week. Now we're going to get into that portion of our program in which Pace Case and I accept the fact that this game has taken a hold on our lives, for better or for worse. It has changed us fundamentally as human beings. We will never be the same again, for better or worse. We still don't know. But this is the portion of the show where we indulge it fully and we examine our strange relationship with this game. This is
Screams from the Pit!
My scream this week has to do with our new merch. We have our final merch design. It's been designed by the great at Ella Tolkien, who did our original 4TRR t-shirts. We are putting together the pieces now to put it out to the pit. Not quite ready yet, but in this piece of merch, there exists an artistic representation of me. Pace Case. And this is the first time that I am going to be on an article of clothing. And it is because of The Bachelor. The Bachelor has completely consumed my life. And all I get is this not lousy article of clothing.
So how does this make you feel that you are immortalized in a beautiful design and it's going to be worn on t-shirts?
I feel strange. Mm-hmm. Like, it's amazing. The design is amazing. It's very exciting. Clues is also on this design. Spoiler. Mm. But I feel weird about it. And I will definitely feel weird when I see strangers wearing my face on their bodies.
Have you seen anyone yet wearing any of our merch in the wild?
No.
Neither have I. Not that I go in the wild much, but...
Yeah. Are you in the wild?
Yeah, constantly. I'm out there scouring the streets to see if I can find somebody wearing our 4TR shirt. I do it every day for 6 hours. No, I never go in the wild. I am here in this chair making this show and writing our book and doing all that stuff. That's basically all I'm doing. But it's an interesting scream. I think you're going to be okay with it. I think you'll enjoy it. Not that I've had this experience either, and I have, you know, no fucking real advice to give.
Yeah, how do you feel about it?
I love the design. I think it is fantastic. I cannot wait to see it on shirts and mugs and whatever else we're going to do with it.
Yeah.
I like it. It doesn't affect me in any way. I'm like, fuck it. This is cool.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I think people are going to love it.
I do too. My scream this week is a little different. Usually when I go out to a party or I meet new people or whatever the case may be, since this Bachelor fandom has taken hold of my life, usually I try to tell myself, I'm going to hold back. I'm not going to unleash full pit on anyone tonight. I'll even maybe engage in a casual conversation about The Bachelor and leave it at that if I can. But I had an experience recently where I met someone in a work scenario. And we were just kind of talking about casually, oh, what do you do when you're not working on this thing that we were working on? And I was like, I do this Bachelor thing. And I started talking about how we do it. We talk about it as the sport that it is. And here's some of the metrics that we use and all this. And this person knew what The Bachelor was, had seen some seasons, but like was not a hardcore fan, hasn't seen it in many years. And the person started in a very good-natured way, just submitting these suggestions. Oh, you know what you should do? You know that thing where they like run up to somebody and they like jump on them and hug them? You should like compare those against each other. That would be hilarious. And I was just like,
oh my God.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Or you know what you should do? Like when they come out of the limo and some of them have like crazy stuff, you should talk about how like there's like these ones are dressed up and like which ones are the best ones. And I was like,
oh
yeah, that's a good idea. Maybe we'll do that. There was something in my mind that was like, this is a different type of person that I had not yet ever encountered. Somebody who knows enough about the game to understand like conceptually that it is a sport and that these different things can be compared. But somebody who, as most people would do, like we're the only people kind of out of this category, hasn't given any real thought about any of this until that moment.
Yeah.
And so they're just kind of coming up off the top of their head with like ideas that they think are helpful or whatever. And I just am like, you don't know who you're talking to. It's like with a football analogy, it would be like somebody telling Bill Belichick, like, oh, you know what you should do? Maybe think about some more passes during the football game. Maybe have your team do that, you know? And it's like, yeah.
I would pay to see your face as someone explains a hoodoo to you.
It was fucking insane. And then I felt crazy because I felt that shit creeping up in my head that was like,
yeah,
oh, this person doesn't understand. And then I had to just swallow that down. And I was like, there was a line drawn in my head that was like, this isn't a casual viewer or even somebody who views like actively but doesn't understand the pit yet. Those type of people, I feel very strongly like I'm pulling you into the pit, period. You got no choice. This was something different. This was like, this isn't a person who even watches the show anymore. I have to just leave that alone. So I'm just going to pretend to be like, oh yeah, that'd be a great idea. Thanks. And I'm going to leave it at that. I shut the fucking conversation down, even though they were still talking about it, because I was like, there's no way I can get them to this level without a massive amount of effort. And I'm just not willing to put it in. And I'm going to leave them alone. I'm going to let them live their life and think that they're helping me in this conversation.
I'm proud of you.
But it made me feel bad as well, because I also felt like after it, I was like, I've let this person wander back into the world without the full knowledge that they could have. I have done a bad job as a teacher, is what I felt like.
I mean, maybe you'll see them again.
Yeah, I probably certainly will.
You should at least tell them to listen to the podcast. You know, give us a plug, Clues. God, you're not in the wild that often.
Yeah, I didn't do that. Sorry. I'll do it next time.
Be like, I think you might really like our podcast. We actually talk about some of these things.
yeah, do you listen to podcasts? No, I didn't do that. Again, I opted to let this person live their life in harmony without the dark energies of the pit swirling through their brain 24/7.
You know, I feel like it's like you encountered a child that is talking to you about Santa and you were like, yep, Santa's great.
Pretty much, even though I know I am Santa and Santa is not real. Those are our screams for this week. And now we're going to play you a scream from the Patreon pit. If you go to patreon.com/gameofroses and you sign up, you join us in the bottom of the pit, you get access to our Discord. And through that Discord, you can submit your own 1 minute long or shorter screams. And we play the best ones here and analyze them. So here today, we have a scream from a person called Cass Christopher. We're going to play it for you now, and then we're going to talk about it.
So my friends and I went to an adult prom last night, which was basically a bar that had an adult prom party. My friend and I, who dragged me into the pit a year ago, we were each other's dates. And last night she picked me up to go to said prom. And I decided it would be a good idea. You know, it would be cute since we were each other's dates to buy her a rose. And so I presented her with a rose and said, will you accept this rose, when she picked me up? And what did she have with her? She also got me a fucking rose. We got each other roses to go to this prom together. Because why wouldn't we give each other roses instead of a corsage or something else that's more prom relevant? Anyway, we both got each other fucking roses. That's my scream. Goodbye.
Beautiful scream, Kaz. I love this. You inadvertently both got each other friendship roses. You basically just did a round of Voucher in Paradise in which you were doing very good play. Survive another week.
This is fantastic. And it made me start thinking of an experimental strategy. If you're a player, you bring a rose of your own, or you find them. There are roses everywhere on the set. I'm sure you can get one.
Ooh.
And when you are given the rose at a rose ceremony, you offer one back in return.
Oh, I thought you meant like it was your Kringle limo exit.
No, you save it for the rose ceremony. So when the bachelor's like, Lizzie, will you accept this rose? You go, only if you accept this rose, and you give them a rose back.
Gorgeous.
It's beautiful. Thank you for that scream, Cass Christopher. Again, if you want to submit your screams, just go to patreon.com/GameOfRoses. Join us in the bottom of the pit. Get in that Discord. Scream away, and we'll be reviewing them here from time to time. God, I love this one. I also love that it was an adult prom, which is paradise all over again, obviously.
Yes. Was it 80s theme, I wonder? Yeah, it's also like a Gift of the Magi a little bit, that story.
Yeah, I thought maybe we were going to hear that there was going to be a hooju as they picked each other up to the prom. This is a high-level scream. Congratulations. But thank you, everyone, for joining us this week. That rounds out this week in Bachelor Nation. We will be back next Wednesday with our coverage of next week's big game. And we hope everybody has a great weekend. Before we go, as always, what is that Dwabat?
It has been 7,165 days without an Asian bachelor. Praise be our beloved game.
Please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us. And then please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us. And then please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us. And then.
Clues, have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp or ever wondered,
hell yes,
why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised?
Hell yes. Well, unfiltered mineral water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And about 75% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine.
I thought it was 85%. And that's where Canopy's new filtered shower head comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered shower head. Dermatologists recommended unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin.
Best of all, the Canopy filtered shower head is hassle-free. Installation's a breeze, and it's unique. Quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement unlike any others on the market.
Go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered shower head purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription.
Even better, anybody listening to Gore right now can use code ROSES at checkout to save an additional 10% off your Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.